Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. Democratic Congresswoman from Oklahoma's District 5, Kendra Horn, is almost at the end of her 14-day COVID-19 quarantine. She has also been actively watching Congress as it works through a $2 trillion stimulus package to combat the pandemic. KRMG's Russell Mills spoke with Horn to get her take on the progress.
To be clear, you saw issues with both the Republican proposals and the Democratic proposals. You didn't feel like either, you felt like both of them were maybe addressing things or doing things that were not necessary, and that both of them need to back down a little bit and cooperate. Is that fair? Am I putting words in your mouth?
I have been concerned about both of those things. So let's just back up for a moment, Russell. It will be 2 weeks ago this Friday night, Saturday morning, that the House passed the Families First Coronavirus Response package that then the Senate did not pass until this week. It was the end of last week. So and then the Senate package, when it came out, I was disappointed to see that it wasn't a bipartisan package, because that's what it's going to take. That's what we did in the House in the first two bills, the $8.3 billion package, and in the Families First package. Look, these things are not going to be perfect because we don't have time for perfection right now. Our communities need help. People are dying. Our first responders need personal protective equipment. We need tests. We need ventilators. Our businesses need the money to keep their employees paid. We need to help individuals who are being forced to stay at home. We've got to take care of all of these things. We don't have the time to insist on perfection, but what we do have the time to do is insist that we work in a bipartisan way to get targeted support. And my frustration with the initial Senate proposal was that it was a $500 billion package for businesses and industry that didn't include transparency, it didn't include oversight, and it didn't include protections to ensure that when we're giving money to these businesses and industries, that it goes to ensure that people stay employed, that it gets to the workers. And that's important. I think that's important for all of us. It's not a partisan issue. It's making sure that we're being responsible with taxpayer dollars. And we should be doing that. Thankfully, in this agreement that they reached today, as I understand it, it includes that increased transparency. It creates a special inspector general for pandemic recovery and oversight. It prohibits businesses that are owned or controlled by the president, vice president, members of Congress, or executive branches from participating in these programs. It establishes worker protections, and it prohibits stock buybacks until at least 1 year after, for companies that take this money, until at least 1 year after they've paid any of the money back. That's a good thing. And just as I said about the Senate bill, I was very frustrated to see a House bill come out that had a whole lot of things that weren't related to COVID-19. This is not the time for us to be adding on many different things that are not related and not productive towards a bipartisan solution. And that's what we need to continue to work on. But again, this isn't about perfection. It's about getting things done. It's about being responsible and understanding that we have to take action and we have to keep moving forward. So I will keep advocating for that. It's, you know, one of the reasons I'm proud to be a part of, I think, a number of caucuses that are working on that. You know, as a member of the Problem Solvers Caucus, which is a bipartisan caucus in the House, we as a group have been advocating for and pushing for immediate direct financial support for individuals and businesses, financial support, including for small businesses, grants and zero interest loans to help keep businesses in business and help them keep their employees on the payroll, and as well as a number of other provisions. And we've got to take care of our first responders, health care and food security needs. And these are the kind of things, the paid leave provisions, expanded unemployment, these are the kind of things we should be continuing to focus on and making sure we're getting the resources out to the communities. And so my frustration only really comes when I see games being played, because this is not the moment for games. This is the moment for us to come together. And I think it's always a moment for us to come together, but especially right now. The virus doesn't care who we are, doesn't care what state you're from, but what we have to do is get past any partisan differences and do what we need to do to take care of our communities.
When I think the part that a lot of Americans are focused on is this check that we're all supposed to get from the government. And I had a question last night. I don't know if you're aware, we're doing a call-in show 6 to 7 p.m. Sure. on KRMG. And we're trying to answer folks' questions. And what came up yesterday was, well, I'm on Social Security. Does that mean I'll get a stimulus check? And I think that the draft legislation said, yeah, if Social Security income is part of your income, regular SSI or SSDI, that data will be used to claim a stimulus check, but not if they're just on supplemental security income. And that's the folks that may possibly need the help the worst. What are you hearing?
Well, Russell, I think it's important for everybody to understand is we are working on this as quickly as possible. Right now, we are still waiting on the final bill text to be able to answer those questions thoughtfully and thoroughly. And I wish I had all of the answers right now. And I could say absolutely this is the answer, but sadly, I don't have the full extent of the answer on that. What I do understand on a broader brush is that Americans, it looks like under this agreement, if it continues the way that that we believe it will, is that it will be for lower and middle income Americans, and it will be a $1,200 for adults, $500 for children. But I can't fully answer that question yet, and I wish I could until I see the final bill text, and that's part of the continued negotiation and finalizing. But on another level, we're going to keep fighting to make sure that the people that need it the most get it, because there were previous versions of the bill and agreement that would have left people out, and I think those are some of the areas where there was negotiation that was ongoing, because it is important for us to stay at the table and get to a negotiated answer if it's something that's really going to impact. We're leaving people out and making sure that we're doing the right thing as best we can, but also as we are moving quickly, we will have to fix some things as well. And we're doing everything we can to get the information out as soon as we have it. So I can't definitively answer that question clearly and without any doubt. But as soon as we have that, I will get you that answer.
And you know what? That makes me feel better, because basically what I said is we just don't know, because they're not done with the bill yet. So it sounds like I gave the right answer, even if I was, you know, kind of guessing. But I'm kind of glad to hear you're basically saying the same thing. We want that, or you know, we're watching, but we can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good right now. And we need to get this process moving. Is that fair?
Absolutely. That's absolutely fair. We need to get it done. We need to get it done as soon as possible, and we need to do it in the right way. But it is also clear that this is not our last package. This is the next step. We have to keep taking that next step forward, which goes to not letting the perfect be the enemy of the good. We have to get more relief and support for all of our communities so we can weather this storm together, and we can hopefully reduce the amount of time that we're dealing with it. We've got to protect lives, and we have to provide resources to help our communities. And we have to keep taking these steps forward, which means we're not going to answer all of the concerns at once. I would love to, but we can't do that. So we got to take this step forward, and then we'll take the next step forward. And that's what we have to do right now.
All right. I'll ask one more question and I'll let you go because you've been super generous with your time. What are you telling folks? I can only imagine, because I'm getting the calls, that you're getting the calls from people saying, this is crazy. This is all blown out of proportion. This is just, you know, the flu, and we're going to destroy our economy all over panic. They think it's being drummed up by the media or whatever. How is your office handling those calls? What are you telling folks?
What is incredibly important is that we listen to the medical experts. This disease is serious. This virus is deadly, and we don't have immunity to it. And we don't have treatment, and we don't have vaccines. So we have to work together and follow the advice of the experts to do what we can to save lives, to protect our communities, and in doing so, to reduce the spread. We've got to flatten the curve. This is real. As you mentioned at the beginning, I'm in self-quarantine because one of my colleagues was diagnosed. He is not one of the people that we think about who's in older age group. He's in his 40s, healthy. And yet he has had a serious challenges, including this put him in the hospital. We have people that are dying. When we're looking at how we can take care of each other, this requires sacrifices on all of our parts so we can get back to doing the work in our day-to-day lives. But this virus doesn't care whether or not you believe it. It doesn't care where you're from. It impacts all of us, and we don't know how far it's spread. And we're beginning to know. But I think these are the times when it is critical to listen to the advice of the experts and the medical professionals and the people that study pandemics and can tell us what is most likely. And it is shown that if we take the steps that we need to take to reduce the spread and flatten the curve, we'll shorten the time frame and we'll all be better for it. So that's what I say. Look, none of us asked for it. We didn't want this, but now's the time for us to come together and take care of our friends and our neighbors and do what we have to do to give our communities a chance to make it through to the other side of this.
I have a friend in, he is with the EMS, I believe, in Creek County. Paramedic, been around for, he'll have been doing it for 20 years. This man won the Star of Life Award in 2013, if you're familiar with that, is like the highest award for somebody EMS. So he's the real thing. And he posted something on Facebook last night, and I'll just read this to you. If you need to be rescued from a vehicle that's sinking in a lake during a tornado and there's wolves around, we have a plan. That is not a joke. We actually have a plan. We have people whose sole job is sit around, think of stuff like that, and make a plan. And then he says, and this is all capitalized every word, every word ends with a period. We do not have a plan for what is happening. We are literally making this one up as we go. We are on social media begging people to make medical supplies in their blank living room clear enough stay the hell home. This is a man who's also a cancer survivor and is in, I mean, you want to talk about comorbidities? He's probably got four of them. And he's out there. He's not in the field, but he's dealing personally with the people that are in the field. He's exposing himself every day. This man is risking his life every single day and begging people to just take it seriously.
Yes. Yes. And Russell, here's that is such an important point. And here's one other thing that I was talking to somebody, and I think this just puts it into a fine point. If we all act like we have contracted the virus, then we can stop the spread of it.
Not only should we all act like we have it, we should act like everybody we see and everybody we know and everybody we touch has been exposed.
Yeah.
Period. The end.
Yeah. And we can't decide when we're going to end. We can't just make up a date. We've got to take the actions now. That's why we need public health officials. That's why we need plans for pandemics and national stockpiles. And we need to listen to the experts and follow the advice. I mean, it is heartbreaking what is happening in Italy and other places. Do we want to be there? Because I don't think that we do.
I can't imagine that we would, but I unfortunately, what I see and what I'm hearing anecdotally, we're not taking this as seriously. A lot of people are not taking this as seriously as they should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I just want to encourage everyone that, this is scary. I think we have to acknowledge that, right? There's uncertainty. It is scary. We don't fully understand this virus. We don't fully understand the impacts that all of this is going to have. We can't look, as your friend said, like we don't know what's on the other side of it. But what we do know, and what the experts do know, is the best possible ways to help reduce the spread, give our medical professionals a chance to treat the people who have contracted the disease, who are in the hospitals, who need the ventilators, and not overwhelm them as much as possible.
And as I,
I'm
sorry, as I mentioned the other night, let's not forget car wrecks are still happening.
Exactly.
People are still getting shot. People are getting sick from other diseases. And every hospital bed filled by a COVID-19 patient means one of those patients may not get a hospital bed. And we have to we have to remember that as well. And so when people are getting, I have the cough, I have the temperature, and they want to go to the hospital, and it's like, well, I'm sorry, but right now, and Matt made this very clear, he said right now in every hospital pretty much in the world, doctors are starting to make life and death decisions as to who gets a ventilator, who doesn't, because there's X many ventilators. And I just don't think people really are really wrapping their heads around the gravity of this situation. So, well, listen, I appreciate your time so much. I'm going to go ahead and shut down the recording. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much appreciated.
Well, thank you, Russell. I appreciate it. And, we will, Chris will be in touch. We're going to keep doing everything we can to put the best and most up-to-date information out. I'm not going to tell you something I know until I know it. So sometimes my answer is going to be, we don't know yet.
Democratic Congresswoman from Oklahoma's District 5, Kendra Horn. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Bert Williams.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.